This is called Elegy, and this is for my cousin John, who was killed in Vietnam in 1967. I tried to write something for him since 69, actually. I started in 69, and I could never do anything. And then in the spring of 83, I was finally able to write this poem. And after that, there's just like a flood of poems about Vietnam. I wrote one poem about Vietnam, and I watched that PBS series on Vietnam, and then I read Fire in the Lake, and I read the Shawcross book on Cambodia, and then I wrote a poem that loosely deals with Cambodia, and by the end I was just totally exhausted just dealing with it. And I don't think that I'm through with it yet, actually. There's something else kicking around in there, but it's very depressing. I went to the killing fields a few weeks ago too, and I made this sort of, told myself, kind of hypnotized myself so that I wouldn't think about it that night, but the next morning it just all came back about 5 in the morning, and that was really so intense. This is called Elegy for my cousin John. 1. Hundreds of flies rise from my face, and I feel as if I'm flying, but it's only a daydream. I'm 75 in the Veterans Hospital, and this isn't 1917. On TV, Saigon is splitting apart like a cheap Moroccan leather suitcase, and we are leaving it all behind, our dirty, dirty laundry. Maybe it's the right thing to do. Maybe soldiers are reborn infinitely to do each century's killing and mopping up. We stand at attention in full dress. A general rides by in an open car and we cheer. How I cheered, here's to the trenches, the mud, the bullet-riddled days and nights. That one night in November 1917, when I thought I was dead, when I felt myself rising straight for the moon's green, cheesy heart. But I wasn't dead. I was on a troop ship in the English Channel 27 years later, and nothing had changed. Last night I dreamed about my mother. She was pregnant with me, and I was also there with her as a young man. I wanted to end it inside her womb with my bayonet, and somehow I cut my way to the child. I took him by the feet and flung him high over a smoky black rainbow, too. Suddenly, my body jerks forward, then back, and just as suddenly, the TV screen darkens, and the voices of the journalists fade, then hang in the air like whispers, as the orderly takes hold of my wheelchair. When we move down the hallway, small, almond-eyed people cheer as I roll by. I recognize them all. That one was with me in the trenches, that one in the concentration camp, and that vapor there from Nagasaki. The orderly lifts me into bed and folds the mended blanket across my chest. Imagining things, I say to him, well, what if I am? Just lower the coffin. Let those clods of earth come down like 100 blows. You say, never you, never. But when it's your turn, you'll pack your sweet dreams in your old kit bag and go. And on that true last day, you and I will rise toward heaven like two great brass notes from Gabriel's horn. We'll shout, hallelujah, the war is over. We'll shout the gates of heaven down.